Someone You Should Know. A program about people you know, and even more that you don't. Hosted by Stuart Sachs, veteran, husband, father, and grandfather. Now, here's your host, Stuart Sachs.
Well, welcome. This is another episode of Someone You Should Know. Glad to have you with us. We're going to have a good time today. You are going to, I would encourage those that are watching and listening right from the start of the show, get a pad of paper and a pen and keep it handy, because we're going to be giving you some information that you might want to jot down and save, because this show is going to save you a lot of money. And with my very, very special guest. And we are brought to you by one of our new sponsors and very, very good friends over at Ease Veterans Magazine. Now, At Ease Veterans Magazine is a one of a kind. It is of veterans, by veterans, and for veterans. Christine Walker is a veteran herself, and she started the publication about 2.5-3 years ago. It is a phenomenal magazine that comes out 4 times a year. Check it out, At Ease Veterans Magazine. It's not just for veterans, because passionate patriots will enjoy all the articles in this beautifully, beautifully done magazine. And I am proud to be on the staff as one of the writers for that magazine too. Well, today I have, we're going to be sharing some very, very interesting information, because in talking to my guest ahead of time, realized that we have a little more in common than I originally thought. I've studied a little bit about my guest and all, and now I want to share a little conversation today with Christopher Klesch, who is also affectionately known as Coach Chris. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Well, thanks, Stuart. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are now, I should say, because you started with a very, very lucrative career with a small telephone company called, AT&T?
That's correct.
And I'll let's start at that point. What did you do with AT&T over your, 31 years with them?
Yes, that's right. Actually, it wasn't with AT&T. If you remember, the Bell system was changed then. I started there in New York Telephone. We had all the regional telephone companies. So I started my career out of college. Actually, I majored in music and radio and television, but I had a business background. So I started in New York City. I needed a job, so I started in the sales department with New York Telephone, and I spent seven years in New York City working for basically a sales capacity. I was the guy in the suit and tie that went out to the major accounts and sold them the benefits of the phone company's equipment, selling switchboards, phone systems, that sort of thing. And then in 77, I wanted to go to Florida, so I transferred to Florida. It was Southern Bell at that time. Then it became Bell South. So I finished my career in Florida to get my 30 years in and benefits, etc. And I was an executive basically in marketing, selling the benefits of the Bell system, AT&T versus the competitors. And I was sort of a specialist in banking, all their data networks, that sort of thing. And I had a good career and I enjoyed it, but I was at age 52, I was retiring. So 52, I retired, they sign here, here's a year's pay and you're out on your own. And then from there, I transitioned. I was always loved speaking and travel and leisure. It was a passion of mine. So I learned the tricks of the trade. I love to travel. I went around the world twice. First, and I learned how to do it first class for pennies on a dollar. And then people said, well, how did you do that? How did you do that? Et cetera. And then one thing led to another. I did a few interviews. I spoke at colleges and started a speaking career. So that's where I am now, to show people you don't have to be rich to live rich.
And it's fascinating. I mean, first of all, when you mentioned 31 years with AT&T, originally, for those of us who remember what a dial phone was all about, those were back in the days where you talked to an actual person, an operator. When you picked up your telephone, you had a long cord to stretch in the House, and you have seen it all from these massive switchboards right down to the little cell phones and flip phones that we use today.
Exactly. I mean, it's technology. It was all part of it. Remember pay phones? You had to go in a phone booth before cell phones. We're looking for, you know, driving up and down the highway. Hey, where's a pay phone? Stopping a gas station. We got to make a call. And so I made transition was a part of it. But, you know, I had a good career. I learned a lot. Again, speaking about corporate America, back then it was different. They paid for my MBA. I went to school. You know, if you were a good citizen in the corporate world, they paid for my MBA. Then when the Vietnam War came, I enlisted into the Army Reserves and National Guard. So they supported me there. They paid the difference in salary, gave me my job back after I finished my commitment and basic training. So corporate America, I think in those days, not getting off the subject, was different. They really supported their employees.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that there probably aren't as many people that put in 31 years with the same company today as there was back in those days. It was more of a lifetime commitment back then. People seemed to bounce from job to job or career to career to try and move up the ladder.
Yeah, I mean, it's altogether different today. We're in an entrepreneur environment. I consider myself an entrepreneur, and I like to work. I believe, you know, mental fitness, as I, you know, would ask your audience, I do believe the best things in life aren't the things. You know, look, this is not a Rolex. It's a Costco watch, $35, but it, you know, tells time, and it's...
It tells the same time, exactly.
Yeah, waterproof. So I always start off my speeches, and I'll ask your audience, so they all agree the best things in life aren't the things. What are they? Your health, that's your mental health, your, you know, physical health, your family, your friends, your faith, hopefully, and those precious memories and experiences that we all have. We look back, especially in this troubled environment we're in now, divided country, COVID, and it's all about those memories and experiences that are so important. And that leads us into travel and leisure, what I got into. A lot of those memories and experiences are created from travel and leisure, whether it's a family vacation, weddings, bar mitzvahs, girlfriends trips, college reunions, you know, trips in business, networking and association meetings. And it's those memories and experiences and educational things that really keep us going in this troubled lifetime. But what's the problem now? The problem is the economy. People can't afford it. Everything's more expensive. Inflation isn't at 3% in travel. It's 40%. If you look at hotel rates, airline rates, food, everything else. And I try to, as a speaker, I've spent 20 years of my life doing this, and it's sort of like a passion, a drug that's been injected into me, try to beat the system. How do middle-class people live this lifestyle? I call it a lifestyle of privilege, and be able to travel, the importance of travel. Again, I don't want to, a lot of what I talk about is to reduce stress, reduce burnout in this troubled environment we're in now, reduce anxiety, to be more professional.
Yeah.
And like I said, we all, no matter what stage of the life we're in now, we all need to retreat, relax, renew, rejoice, and remember, create those memories with our family and friends for a lifetime.
Yeah, well, that's the whole purpose, really, of travel, is to escape the everyday, and as you said, relax and renew yourself. Now, during your career with AT&T, did you travel a lot with the company? And is that where you got the bug?
Yeah, I did. Well, I did travel with the company. I handled national accounts, so I did traveling a little bit and a lot of training. AT&T sent me, or at the time it was Bell South at the time before right. It merged back in AT&T. You know, I did a lot of training in Atlanta, et cetera. I had accounts, national accounts, where I traveled to the headquarters. Let's say I had large banks in California. So I did traveling, but this travel bug started, obviously, when I was young. I had a family that did love to travel. I remember, like it was yesterday, I was 12 years old. I spent 6 weeks in Europe.
You know, 12 years old.
12 years old, you went on a vacation 6 weeks. And I remember, you know, the details with the pictures that then, obviously, we didn't have cell phones, but the old pictures and movies, etc. It's the memories and experiences. And I can still recall, and I'm 75 years old now, I can still recall what I did in Europe, the things that I remember. I remember distinctly having dinner on that, you know, in the Eiffel Tower. They have a fancy restaurant. And those memories stay with you. And I think we all reflect, if we go on family vacations, they're educational, they reduce stress, but some of them just be apprised of cultures, learn, you know, different, you know, the ways of life of different countries. It's important. So I think travel should be very important to a family, to an individual. But the problem, again, like I said, that's what I focus on now. With the cost, how do we afford to do it? And you know, that's the key, I think, to the expertise I provide the audiences when I speak across the country.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that when people do retire from their careers, one of the first things they say is, "I want to travel now. I want to enjoy life, get out there." And then you start to figure, well, wait a minute. Can I afford to do this? And you basically have said, yes, you can, that you just need to know the system and know how, as you say, to go on a luxurious vacation for pennies on the dollar.
Right. I think when you retire, you bring up a good point. We have extended families. You said you have children, people have grandchildren. They want to get together. Family reunions, holidays are important. I'm a ski bum. I go out to Vail, Colorado in the winter, usually, and that's my routine now for a month and a half, 2 months. And I ski, and I see three generations of families on the mountain skiing, and there's nothing more beautiful. I start off the day looking at the little kids, 5 years old, in ski schools with their instructors and talking to these children before I go out myself. And it's a beauty to see a family together enjoying thing. And as people retire, like you said, they have bucket lists. They spent their whole life working, saving, and now they have, if they're still healthy, like I said, health is wealth. You know, they want to get out there. And I always wanted, whether it's going to national parks, Broadway shows, going to museums in Europe, taking a cruise. A lot of people like to take cruises. Whatever it is, going to Hawaii, sitting on the beach, everybody's travel needs or desires are different, but live the dream, but live it affordably, live it smartly. And again, it keeps you young. It's a passion. Like I said, there's three aspects of travel. Plan the trip. Then you have something to look forward to. I know I'm already booked next year for Vail in January. I'm looking forward to it for next year. Plan a trip. Right. All through the year, you have endorphins to your brain, something to look forward to. And then you actually have the vacation or the trip. You have the adventures. And you're creating ventures, excitement. And then what are you left with? With all the gadgets we have now, cell phones, we're taking pictures. We're capturing those memories and experiences. And we're building a legacy for our family forever. So I think it's very important.
All right, so Chris, somebody says, all right, you know what? I've always wanted to travel to Europe. I've always wanted to go to London and Paris and Berlin and in Europe. But man, I can't afford to do that. You tell people, maybe you can. What's the first step that somebody should take when they want to travel either domestically or abroad?
Well, I would say plan in advance. Narrow it down, your bucket list, family vacations, which you could afford, prioritize, etc. The further you plan in advance, the lowest rates you're going to get. But the two major costs of travel and leisure, as everybody knows, for their budget, are transportation costs, meaning flying, airlines, and accommodations. So I think that that's about 85% of a travel budget, no matter where, if you're going to Europe, to London, like you said, or, you know, Hawaii or the Caribbean or whatever it is, we got to get there. I got to get out to Colorado to ski. I got to get on an airplane. I'm not going to drive from Palm Beach, Florida, across the country. So airfares and accommodations are the two biggest money takers, so to speak, out of the budget. So that's what I focus on. I have a few tips, if you'd like me to give them to your audience, really, how to combat that.
I'm sure that they would love that. And I told them at the start of the show to have a pad of paper and a pencil, or you can go directly to the website. Chris has got a phenomenal website, and all it's scrolling across the screen right now. Jot that down and visit his website, because you can reach out to him via the website too. If you've got questions or you want him to speak to your group about the advantages of travel and how to do it. All right. So the first thing you say is you plan where you want to go. You come up with an idea for a budget. Is there a best time? Let's use France, for instance, as a starting point. You want to go to France. Is there a particular time of the year that is more affordable to travel to France, and the best time of the day to travel to France?
Well, obviously, you don't want to travel during holidays. Obviously, the Olympics are going to be in Paris. So obviously, that's the most expensive time to go there. All the hotels are booked up. They double the rate, supply and demand. If you're trying to save money, you try to go in the off season. You look at your calendar, and domestically, if you can, avoid the holidays, obviously, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, July 4th. Airfares go up, supply and demand. Obviously, there's more headaches at airports and travel and congestion, et cetera. So if you could fly or travel and plan in the off season, you're much better off. You're going to save time, money, and aggravation. So if you're flexible, I would say look at the off seasons in your travel planning.
Is that true with the airlines also, that because it's the off season, sometimes they offer better deals in order to fill up the planes?
Yeah, exactly right. It's all capitalism. It's all computerized, supply and demand, the closer you get. So the farther in advance you could plan your bucket list trip, your family vacation, try to do it. Because you're going to save money, save aggravation. And then obviously, once it's done, you have it marked on your calendar, something to look forward to. It gets you through the week. Hey, in 3 months, I would be going here on this family trip or a college reunion football game or whatever it is. Even business trips. I'm looking forward. I'm going to this association meeting this year. I skipped it last year because, of course, I'm going to this year. And I'm looking forward to it, to networking, learning about current events, artificial intelligence, whatever it is, all our travel plans, or that cruise. I haven't taken that cruise, that river cruise, or I haven't gone to New York to see the latest Broadway shows, or I haven't gone to that national park. My grandchildren want to go. I'm finally going to go. So plan, do it, and then you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, you brought up a point about accommodations. I know for a fact, because when my wife and I travel, very often a hotel in a major city or a resort area, the rate for the same room is different for maybe Monday through Thursday, and then it's more for that same room on Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday sometimes. So if you're going to stay in that resort for, say, 3-4 days, you might as well stay midweek and save money instead of staying over the weekend.
That's an excellent point. Let's just sort of jump into accommodations.
Okay.
A lot of travel with families. Everybody thinks hotel, resorts. We've all stayed there. I tell my audience, my clients, when you're traveling, the typical family vacation now, forget the word hotel. Strike it from your vocabulary. Forget hotels. Why? Now listen closely. Because Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, Westin, Disney, Starwood, Wyndham, Holiday Inn, even the Ritz-Carlton. They're all hotels. We've all stayed in them all around the world. But what a lot of people don't know is they all have vacation club products. They used to call them timeshares. Timeshares got a bad name because obviously they, you know, legitimately they're lying on their sales practices. It was a gimmick. So the hotel chains changed the name. They came up with a product called vacation clubs. And all the major hotel chains have these vacation clubs. So instead of staying at a hotel, you could go on the internet. You have don't have to own now. And one resource is redweek.com, redweek.com. Here's where owners list their unused accommodations, their timeshares or vacation clubs in various areas. And you could get a one bedroom, sleeps four, six, two bedroom, sleeps eight, three bedroom, around the world at these luxury resorts for a third the price of a hotel room. And there's no resort tax, no sales tax, etc. And whether you're going like myself, let's use myself as an example. I go to Vail to ski. It's one of the ritziest places. I'm a luxury guy, like five-star resorts. A hotel room in Vail during the ski season when I was there is $1,000 to $1,500 a night for the Marriott. And another $80 to park your car. Where right. You can go on the internet. On the internet. From Red Week. And rent from an owner now. Don't rent from the developer that's not using their week. The maintenance fees have gone way up. They're trying to recoup some of their maintenance fees. And rent from an owner and get a one or two bedroom unit like I do. I own them, but I'm just saying you could rent them. I even rent them out. It's part of my business brand as I rent timeshares. And you get a, let's say for myself, a one bedroom, sleep six, two full bathrooms, full kitchen now. And that's going to save money. Instead of going out dining with your family three meals a day, you go to Costco and you can cook yourself. You're going to have a fireplace, Wi-Fi. You're going to have hot in a clubhouse with indoor, outdoor pools, all the amenities, hot tubs, saunas, steam rooms, free transportation, let's say for me, into Vail. And instead of paying $1,000 a night, this is going to cost you $200 a night. And you could sleep six or eight. I even get a garage to put my rental car in. And I'm not paying for valet parking or anything. And I'm getting a garage. And you can do this all over the world. If you want to go where I am now in Florida, where it's expensive, people want to get out of the winter, come down from the north, rent a vacation club, a timeshare from an owner. You want to go to Disney World, forget the hotels. There's literally hundreds of rentals available from owners where you're going to get these one, two, three bedroom units at luxury resorts, full amenities for less than Motel 6 prices. And it's very easy to do. That's one basically available website, redweek.com. There's another one called Timeshare Users Group TUG, which owners rent their vacation units out. And you're going to get this luxury lifestyle, like I say, for pennies on a dollar. And this is around the world. You're talking about Paris, London, Rome, Hawaii, Aruba, whatever, the destinations, Las Vegas, beach locations all around in the mountains, Myrtle Beach, Poconos, even in New York City. You can stay in these timeshares instead of a hotel and get all sorts of amenities. So think about that as an alternative to actually staying or booking a reservation in a hotel.
You know, Chris, you mentioned redweek.com, which I've never heard of, but I'm you know, probably the people watching and listening to the show are a little more familiar with Airbnb and VRBO as places to go to rent, you know, either massive homes if you want to have a family reunion or like you're saying, just to get away. where does Airbnb and Vrbo fall within your realm?
Yeah, well, Airbnb is good if you're looking for a house, but you're not getting a resort. You know, in somebody's room, it'll save you money. Airbnb, you're getting a nice, you know, a room in somebody's home, etc. The other one, vacation homes rentals. If you have a big house, big reunion, you need six bedrooms. Everybody's there.
Right.
You know, that's an option. But for the typical family that just wants 2-3 bedrooms, sleep 6, 4, 6, 8 with all the resort amenities. Some even come with free golf. When I'm saying all resort amenities, you're going to have a clubhouse, pools, hot tubs, free golf, tennis courts, etc. You're going to get more bang for your buck in that environment of renting a timeshare. I call them either timeshares or vacation clubs. Now, there's a lot of timeshares out there that are not associated with hotels. They're going to be less expensive. But I always tell, you know, spend a little more money, get the security, the cleanliness of a hotel brand that's managed by a major hotel chain, and then you're going to get more amenities and you're going to get the safety, security that we all want, the cleanliness, because the hotel stands behind it, etc. Right. And they're going to have more activities, like I said. But that definitely, again, it's an option. Stay in a timeshare or like they call them, hotel chain, vacation club, and you're going to save 80% of your budget. Actually, more than that, when you think that you have a full kitchen. I mean, when I go to Vail, I'm using myself as an example. I go to Costco. I get out of the airport, boom, I'm in Costco stocking up on basic supplies, so I don't have to go out and spend a lot of money in restaurants.
Sure. You know, especially even if you want to just get your lunch meat and bread and I'll make your lunches or get your breakfast goods, get some eggs and bacon and stuff and cook that and then go out maybe for a dinner in the evening.
Right. Exactly. You have the options, more options for you, especially if you have a family. It's just convenient. You eat at your own time. I mean, my son's a good cook. He's a big shot. He loves to come down to Florida. He doesn't want to stay at my house. We go right to the beach, to the Marriott. It's called Marriott's Ocean Point, one of their vacation club resorts. I get an oceanfront room, and he's there, full kitchen. I mean, everything's brand new, all the appliances, all the cook. We even have a washer dryer in the room and Wi-Fi. And he works from anywhere. He's a big shot accountant auditor now, so he could work from anywhere. And he sets up his Mac computer, his headset, and he's working from the dining room table. And he gets up early in the morning, walks, sees sunrise, and then he likes to cook. And we have the family there, and it's just an alternative, especially getting into business now. It's not work from home in these days after COVID. You really, if you plan it right and you could save all this money, you could work from anywhere. So he doesn't have to be in the confines of his home in Birmingham. He could be oceanfront in Palm Beach, Florida with all the amenities and still do his job and get paid, not have to take vacation time.
I mean, just the thought of what you said earlier about staying in a hotel, and you said that's a bad word and get it out of your vocabulary. To spend $1,000 a night at a fancy resort when you can stay in the same resort area for $200, now you got $800 a day to spend on other things, like all the things that you went to the resort area for. It is incredible. All right, so now you've told the people watching and listening about Red Week or so to find the accommodations. Now I say, great, I got a great deal at this resort area for this timeshare. Now I got to get there. So how do I get there? What are some of the travel tips
The airfare? Excellent question. Yeah, that's usually my first tip is the airfares. We got to get there. The best advice I have, and I haven't paid for a flight in 15 years, and I'm not married to a flight attendant.
What?
I haven't
Say paid, that again.
I have not paid to fly in 15 years, and I'm not married to a flight attendant or a pilot or anything like that. It's a game. It's travel hacking. Here's the tip number one to get started. Every airline is associated with its bank, has its own credit card. For example, American Express is with Delta. We have Southwest Airlines with Chase Bank. I fly a lot on American Airlines, is with Barclay Bank, Capital Bank, etc. United, I think, is with Chase. Every airline has its own credit card, and they have what's called sign-up bonuses. You sign up for their credit card, you spend $2,000-$4,000, and you're going to get 60,000, 80,000 frequent flyer miles. And they add up. And you could do one for yourself. You leverage this, one for yourself, one for your spouse. If you have grown children, you could get the business card. I have two or three business entities. So besides my personal credit card, I put one in business names, and they leverage travel points, loyalty points, and they mount up and you fly for free. Now, to give you an example, there's a card out there. It's complicated. That's why you have somebody like me. You need me to speak at your event. I know what's going on. There's a credit card out there now sponsored by Barclay Bank with American Airlines. And all you have to do is make one purchase. Buy a pack of gum. Fill up your gas tank, right? And you're going to get 60 or 70,000 of changes, American Airlines Advantage miles. That's worth over $1,000 in travel for making one purchase. You don't even have to pay for the credit card. In addition to that, you're not going to pay for baggage check-in for your traveling party. American Airlines just raised the rates for checking a bag, I think, to $40. If you have the credit card, that's waived. And in addition to that, you're going to get priority boarding. After first class, business class boards, the computer recognizes you have their credit card. They put you in a zone where you could board the plane. So you're not fighting, if you're flying coach like me, for the overhead luggage compartments. So you can do this with every airline. Pick where you want to go. Find out which airlines take you there. Get their credit card. Sign up for their initial sign-up bonus. Spend the minimum if you have to. I put my car insurance on the credit cards or my home insurance, and it eats up the minimum. And then you get these miles and leverage the miles into free flights, and that's how you fly for free. And there's a credit card out there if you have families. I worked with a family, that wanted to take their son to all the baseball games. Southwest has about four different credit cards, business and personal, where you accumulate enough spending. You get rapid, they call them rapid reward points with Southwest Airlines. And you and a companion can fly free for a year, depending on when you time it right, or 2 years for just become a VIP just for your spending on the credit card. So it's a game. You have to know how to play it. But that's the best way to fly for free. And a lot of other credit cards, American Express has American Express rewards, sign-up bonuses. But the best way to get the miles, the fastest way, the best return on your investment, sign up for the airline of your choice, their initial promo for their credit card. They all have signed every single airline, Aloha, Hawaii Airlines, again, United, Southwest, American. Even the international airlines, British Airways, they all have credit cards. Sign up, spend the minimum, get the bonus. Now, you do need a credit score of over 700 usually to qualify. But obviously, everybody knows you don't pay interest on credit cards. You're responsible with it. Interest rates now are 24%. When you get the bill, you pay it. The miles roll into your account, and you're off flying for free. And all of them, like I have a Delta American Express card, I don't pay for luggage check-in. So use the credit cards, use them smartly, and you'll be on, you and your family, flying for free the way I do.
Well, am I also correct that with some of those cards and you get those miles and you become a member of that frequent flyer club, you can even get to the airport a little early and sit in a nice lounge instead of just sitting at the gate waiting for your flight.
That's true. Some credit cards you got to pay more for. Depends. If you're business travel, I have Platinum American Express, you got to weigh, you know, the cost versus how many times you travel. But a lot of business people that travel often, they pay a little more for the credit card, like a Platinum. And that gives one of the benefits is to get into the airline lounge. So depending on how much you fly is how much you want to pay. But for the people starting out there, I'm going to give your audience now one of the biggest tips they could get. To give them an idea, go to this website, and here's where you fly free. This is the best deal out there now. American Airlines, people that fly American Airlines. MyAviatorCard.com. I repeat, MyAviator, AviatorCard.com. You need a promotional code courtesy of Coach Chris. 167-839. I repeat, 167-839. It's going to bring up a credit card application. You fill it out like any other credit card application. You get the card in the mail. You make one purchase now. Like I said, a pack of gum. Fill up your car. Go to Starbucks. Buy a cup of coffee. And you're going to get 60,000 American airline miles into your advantage account. If you don't have a frequent flyer account, you could get one from the airline, AA.com. And you're going to be flying for free. And you, again, leverage this with your spouse, let her get a card. And that's 120,000 miles. That'll get you round trip to Hawaii, etc. Now, I could spend an hour telling you how to beat the system on award travel, etc. The airlines not only have raised their rates to pay for flights, but they made it more difficult. You have to use more loyalty points, frequent flyer miles to fly. But there's all sorts of tricks that I don't want to waste everybody's time. They could call me individually. But
you're not wasting anybody's time, because I'm sure that there are eyebrows that are lifted just listening to what you have just said. I mean, I'm thinking I don't fly that much, but gosh, even if you plan an annual trip, just one trip a year, have the advantage of flying free and then staying in a place that's going to save you 80%. Do the math, folks. We're talking about saving a significant amount of your not only your personal money, but your retirement money, because you're going to be doing a lot of this traveling when you retire, and you don't want to blow your whole retirement just on one trip.
You're exactly right, Stuart. I mean, this enables you, and it is complicated. That's why I got into this business. I saw so many people struggling. You got to realize I've been doing this for 20 years, 3 months a year, vacationing first class, and I'm not rich. And I speak to people. I speak to concierges, hotel executives, other people that travel. We all share tips. There's all sorts of blogs, and I read them all, you know, that how to beat the system. And it's so important how to beat the system. Like for those people that want to, you know, a couple of other quick tips here that are cruise people. There's people, I'm not a cruise guy, but a lot of people want cruises. They want to save money. Well, there's one resource I recommend. There's a newsletter that comes out weekly. Subscribe. It's free. VacationsToGo.com. VacationsToGo.com gives you a list of all these cruise deals. Again, 80, 90% off. And it's a good tool to use if you're a cruise type person to save money. Like I said, I'm not a cruise type person, but a lot of my clients are. It's obviously a vacation choice, etc. If you want to play golf, I'm in a golf resort. I love the game of golf, even though I'm not really playing now, follow the tour, but there's people who want to play golf. You can stay at the Marriott Vacation Club on Hilton Head, right across the street from Harbor Town there, where they have the lighthouse, and stay in the Marriott's, and it comes with free golf. The unit sleeps eight. It's all luxury, full kitchen, and you get free golf and free cart fees on three courses. You're going to get a $15,000 golf vacation and rent from an owner now. An owner, not Marriott. You rent from an owner. They're unused time. And it's going to cost you $2,000 to get a $15,000, $20,000 golf vacation for eight people. These deals are out there. It's just a question of knowledge, knowing about them. They're, like I say, insider secrets. They call it travel hacking. And you just got to know where to go, the resources to use, etc. So I hope that helps your audience a little bit.
I think that anybody that's watching this now, number one, save the show or go back on YouTube and share the show with other people so that they will know all about Coach Chris. You have the website. Reach out if you have questions about Coach Chris, or better yet, reach out to see if you would like to have Coach Chris speak to your corporation or your homeowners group. Would be great to share the information that Coach Chris has with a homeowners association for the benefit of everyone. The 55 and over communities around this country need to have your input and expertise for sure. And you can either do it in person or you can do it virtually, correct?
Correct. Now, I it's funny you mentioned the 55. That's an excellent demographic for people that have retired. They've worked their whole life. They have extended families like you do, kids and grandchildren. They want to plan, especially with this economy now. It's paramount. It's relevant that we save money in this environment of inflation with everything going up and still live the dream. And it's certainly, I provide, like I said at my talks, immediate actionable advice like I'm doing here, but then I can answer questions because everybody's travel needs are a little bit different. For your audience, right, also, if they go to my website, if they mention this show, they heard me give some of these tips on your show, my phone number's there. I'm an informal guy. Give me a call. I'll spend 15 minutes with you, no charge. Try to point you in the right direction or give you the resources that I think will help you and your family, live the dream, so to speak. It's right on my business card. We look forward to servicing your dreams. And again, we travel. Think about this. I speak a lot in my speeches and sound bites. We travel not to escape life, but for life not to escape us. Think about that. And especially as we get a little older, like yourself, Stuart, and myself, another tip I use or another soundbite, it's not the years in your life, but the life in those years that matter. And we all have families, and I mean, I won't get into politics now. We're all struggling. The country's divided. We need that time with our families to escape, retreat, relax, create those memories when we're healthy. It's educational, psychologically. I could get into the studies. People come back refreshed, renewed, no matter what's going on politically in our country. But the key and the problem I solve as a speaker, and I love to help people, whether it's on a podcast like yourself or mainly in person when I could spend more time, is how to be able to do it affordably in today's inflationary environment.
And better to keep the money in your pocket rather than filling somebody else's pocket with it.
That's exactly right. And, it's all about, like I said, memories and experiences, and it's healthful vacations, travel, adventures, you're walking, doing things actively. I don't care whether you're playing golf, tennis, pickleball, now is big in our age bracket. You're taking, going to national parks, get out there and enjoy, see this country. But I solve the problem. There's no more excuses. I can't afford it. No, yes, you can. If you have a coach, that's what I am. If you can't read it, sorry. That's my brand. It's all
travel
my
coach.
Website. I'm known as the travel coach, Coach Chris. That's my brand. I'm an ex-athlete. I play a lot of sports, but I try to coach the deals. That's what I do. The game plan, the inside secrets, the strategies, et cetera, the plays, how to tackle this environment in a winning way. Again, that's what I try to do. So enable people to live this luxury lifestyle. I call it the luxury lifestyle blueprint. And they can do it. I've done it. And I love sharing with audiences how I've done it before. I think I'm most effective as a speaker in front of a group. That's why I do sort of a, I've done a keynote, a lot of keynote speeches, but I prefer doing breakout sessions. I'm also a stand-up comic, so I try to make it entertaining. And this way I can answer questions for the audience because everybody's travel needs are unique. Yeah. But they share the same thing. They want to have a good time, adventures, create memories, and save money.
Well, Chris, and I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to share this conversation with me and with my audience. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that have written down those websites and tips that you've given them, and they're going to start saving a lot of money on some of their travel. Coach Chris Klesch, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the show. That'll do it for another episode of Someone You Should Know. And as I end my show, go out and be yourself because everyone else is already taken. Thanks again, Chris.
Thanks. It was my pleasure. Thank you, Stuart.
Someone You Should Know.